Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
How about my dog, 5'5", and he ain't on side? Frank Clark!
Just a little part of Travis Kelce's speech yesterday at the Chiefs Championship Parade in downtown KC. Was his speech, though, better than his brother's, Jason Kelce? We'll get to that in the 12 o'clock hour. And now that the Chiefs are champions, and like anything, when you have success, sometimes it changes people, right? Doesn't matter in sports. Can be professional success in any line of work that you may have and whatever you do for a living. Hopefully, whatever
That's
you do for a living, by the way.
Never happened in radio.
Never, yeah. Nobody ever has a huge ego or anything like that. No, that never happens.
Personally, looking forward to the day myself, I'm just going to be the worst to work with. Just miserable. Just as soon as I get some of that actual success. Just you wait.
So
just you wait, world.
That does happen.
Yeah,
and
it does.
It certainly can change people. And it's not crazy to think that it could change someone on the Chiefs necessarily, like the actual thought of it. But I don't know, based on, and we think we know these guys to a certain extent, but there's so many things that happen behind the scenes that none of us are privy to. And what we see yesterday from these guys when they were out there having a good time, like that was a good glimpse of just their personality. You could tell who had more of a personality than others, right? Now, alcohol probably assisted with some of that just a little bit. But we had Michael Irvin on the show on Radio Row in Miami. We were just talking about success and everything like that. And then even after the Super Bowl, he mentioned that winning can make people different. And that is, I think, something that can happen all the time. But in terms of what that actually does to an organization and does to a team the following year, there are a variety of reasons why teams do not repeat, why teams don't get back to the playoffs even after Super Bowl wins. A variety of reasons, whether it's injuries, whether it's just roster makeup, cap casualties, retirements, everything. I buy into that kind of stuff, but I don't get a sense that all of a sudden this team, because it seems to, from the outside at least, they are very, very close. They generally like each other. We talked so much about them on the defensive end and with Matthew and Clark and Spags and like how these guys have really come together. They enjoy hanging out with each other. Matthew had said that multiple times during the regular season. I don't think, yeah, there's going to be maybe more confidence and egos in terms of how they approach the rest of the NFL. But within that locker room, in terms of what could impact the Chiefs in a negative way, I don't think you're going to see anything based off of this championship run that's going to change them in terms of, all right, this guy's going to be just looking out for himself all of a sudden. Yeah, people are going to want to get theirs. Chris Jones wants his money. And Patrick Mahomes is going to get his money at some point in time. There's going to be guys that want to financially be rewarded, but I don't think it's something that's going to drag down the team whatsoever going forward.
Well, then you are thinking in the opposite of what normally happens in life. Because Michael Irvin is speaking from during their Super Bowl runs. Now, it didn't stop them from winning multiple. They obviously had multiple Super Bowls during that stretch. But what he's describing is actually not uncommon. I would have said very similar things to you about that Eagles team from a couple years ago. A team that's won the Super Bowl and has not gotten particularly close since. Now, some of what you've described has happened to them. Cap issues have seen players leave. Injuries have forced them into different positions, including from their quarterback and Carson Wentz. But I do think that there's a certain amount of success that does seemingly eventually drive parts of these things apart. Some of it is because they want to get paid. They think that they're a better player than they are. They're on a Super Bowl winning team, and they feel like they deserve a contract and can get a contract from another location that isn't what the Chiefs are either willing or able to afford. So that's some of it. Players get on a roster and like, look, I'm not being taken care of the way I should be taken care of. And they find themselves another team and move on. That happens. I think some of the confidence that is you can do what the Chiefs did in the postseason over and over and over again and resting on the idea that we're the baddest people around and nobody can keep us from doing it do play a factor. But I do think that winning does change you. I think very few teams in the history of football have been able to overcome that eventually over time. And it is a mix. Obviously, I know that roster turnover, injuries, some of the things that factor into their do play a factor. The one thing I do like is they have some players, and I know that people hate the name here, like Julian Edelman, because he like prints up dumb t-shirts that say things like, "Oh, no one believes in us." That was last year on their way to the Super Bowl. This year, too, when rightfully so, no one believed in them because they did not win it and were terrible. I do think that they've got some players on their roster now that will forever think that someone's not believing in them. Tyrann Mathieu could be named MVP of the league, which never happens for defensive players, tomorrow. He was named team MVP yesterday, right? They could retroactively give him NFL MVP this season and strip it away from Lamar Jackson, only to hand it to him. If I asked him in 2 weeks if people appreciated his game enough, he'd tell me, hell no. I'm even better than they think I am. So he will always live with that chip. I think Frank Clark will always live with that chip. I think Patrick Mahomes,
that's what drives these
will
guys,
always live with that chip. Patrick Mahomes is out here like in the middle of a Super Bowl run in the regular season, counting to 10 just to rub it in the face of a franchise that passed him up once. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Against the Bears team that they should beat. Oh, yeah. 10? It took you 10 picks to get to me? So I do think that some of that will live that, but I think it'd be foolish to think that there aren't some players who are going to be changed by the winning and the success and thinking that they deserve more out of this thing. Now, I think it's probably unfair for us to start listing who we think the candidates are, because it's an unfair thing to necessarily do to a player to say, look, I think you're the one who's going to be ruined by success. But I obviously think there's some players that this would be, you know, that this should be a factor of, and something you're going to need to monitor. Andy's going to have to keep people in line.
You just said it right there. And that's why I guess I have more confidence in them being able to keep it together. Everybody's life is changed by this. Everybody on that roster. Everybody,
of course.
Everybody in that organization. Not always for the negative, though. Maybe I'm looking at this way too positively. Not always for the negative, but there also are going to be those circumstances. But I with Andy Reid in the locker room makeup that they have and some of the leaders that you just referenced as well, I don't get the sense, and I know you can't continue to compare everything to the Patriots, but that wasn't a problem there. Okay, now that
it was with some players, and they just shipped them out.
They got rid of them.
And they were good with the two guys. It was Belichick and Brady didn't let the success necessarily overwhelm them, and they just moved on from the guys that it did.
And you've got Reed and Mahomes here, and you've got Mathieu on the defensive side. And those are those three names right there, to me, are the reason why I don't think it's something that really alters this team next season in a negative way in terms of just guys this offseason, guys next year, in terms of who's getting the spotlight, who's getting the money and all that. Yeah, everybody's gonna look out for themselves. But I also think when you have Andy Reid in charge, there's something to be said about that. And I don't throw Brett Veach in this category as well. Like I think the makeup of the organization, it is strong, yeah, but, and there's certainly more stability here that also contributes to that.
But they are letting their cockiness show now.
Yeah, that's fine, but that's in general. That's not cockiness one player over the other within the organization. That's cockiness to the rest of the National Football League.
But that goes two ways. That goes in the way that you become overconfident and you cause problems for yourself, or you just Golden State Warriors the hell out of teams and just dominate. Or you New York Yankees during their runs, or you even like go back to that 90s Cowboy team where Michael Irvin sang some shit where you just run through teams. But that does... there is some impact that has on this, I think, from my end. I think there's a clear impact from a team on somebody, most likely, you know, and I'm not sure who it is yet, that will be impacted by this.
I mean, I think it's definitely going to impact them and change them in some way, but...
it doesn't have to be bad?
Yeah. I think that a lot of teams, after winning a championship, aside from the Patriots, of course, but I think... the Eagles were very full of themselves after winning a championship. I think the Chiefs are very full of themselves, but even after winning it all, I think you could point back to early in the season. They were way overconfident at times in themselves because the slow start thing was a thing all year.
5-0 in those games.
For half the season, they didn't look like a Super Bowl team, but you knew they were. You knew they were a Super Bowl caliber team, but for half the season, they didn't play like that. And they had a lot of injuries. Mahomes had the knee injury, of course. Tyreek Hill was hurt. Eric Fisher was hurt. They had all the injuries early on in the season. But it wasn't until like the last 5 or 6 weeks of the season where you're like, okay, they're turning it on. They look like a Super Bowl team now. Like, that to me is a team that was already way overconfident in themselves, but they were way overconfident in themselves because they were just actually that good.
I don't want them to have another slow start to the season, though, because the key to winning Super Bowls, as you know, is continuously put yourself in the position in the playoffs to do it. The reason why the Patriots' runs were possible is because they had bye week after bye week after bye week after bye week after bye week. Like, the Chiefs kind of backdoored into one this year. A year after having a bye week, I don't think they can afford to have that same, like, oh, no. But you're right. I mean, injuries play a factor. The Chiefs are undefeated with Eric Fisher. Not to say left tackle wins. That's with a Z, by the way, when we joke about it. Are the end-all, be-all. But they needed some of the help to do it. But you're right. They were never necessarily shaken by that. I just wonder what the team mode is on that feeling. Some teams take that cockiness, and they absolutely just throttle teams with it. It does not impact them. I think late in games, you've seen that with the Chiefs this year, where that feeling of there is no lead that is safe, they have used that to their own advantage in there, and they might very well be doing that again with this team.
Eric Mangini was on First Things First and talked just about this as well.
And there's this assumption that just because you show up, things are going to work out. That's not how it works. And you know, as well as anybody, every single year you get faced with this new set of challenges. And there's the guys that have experienced the adversity and the success and know how to work and know how to do things. And then there's new guys that come into the culture and either they fit or they don't fit. And you hit different levels of adversity. And so to just be able to project out because of Patrick and Andy, yeah, should you have a great starting point? You should. How is Patrick going to respond to the money? How is he going to respond to the success? How are the other guys going to respond to that? You think everybody in that locker room is going to be content with their current contract after winning a Super Bowl? People want a taste of that success. They want a taste of those riches that come with that success. And there's a lot of selfishness that creeps in where to truly be successful on a sustained level, you need to be selfless.
Now, Mangini, obviously, you know, he rides in the same camp of like other people who were involved with the Patriots who seem like threatened somehow emotionally by the idea that another team couldn't possibly do it. Because beyond his time with the Patriots, what success did that guy have? What does he remember about teams being successful and it being problematic within those players?
Just like with everything else, though, man, I still go back to Mahomes and Reed, and it's not just the on-the-field product and having that. But if you are one of those guys, and he's not wrong about guys being selfish at times.
Of course not.
He's not wrong at all. But I do think there is, when you are in a position playing with a potentially once-in-a-lifetime quarterback, and that's where we're at with Mahomes.
Yes.
That, I do think, helps the potential issues that could arise with those reasons that were just brought up by Mangini or some of the things that you brought up as well. I think when you have the combination of one of the better coaches to ever coach the game, you have one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game and where he's headed, like that helps smooth some things over. I mean, yes, you want to be taken care of financially, 100%. But there is something to be said. If you think you want to be attached to this guy, you got to step back even after the ring. Like, you tasted the one ring. Like, the thought of getting another ring and another ring and another ring over the next couple of years. Or if you're completely selfish, you know, I want to capitalize financially only. That's all I care about off of this. Then yeah, they won't be on the roster. That becomes like,
if they handle it the same way that some others have, yes. But then you do have to replace the talent. And to your point, one of the mantras has been this entire season, win it for Reed. And I don't know if they've got that part of it now either, which means they need a new team identity for what reason they're getting the trophy. I know it wasn't just one thing. I know it wasn't just win it for Andy, but that has been the resounding message this entire postseason. This is what Patrick Mahomes had to say after the game on that very subject.
Y'all gonna have to stay with me. My voice is already almost gone, and y'all know I don't have too much already. When I became the starter for Kansas City, the first thing I wanted to do was bring the Lamar Hunt trophy back to Kansas City, back to this organization. And the second most important thing I wanted to do was get the Lombardi Trophy for the greatest coach of all time, Andy Reid, baby.
Like, that's continued to be their speech. I've got quotes from Travis Kelce and Clark Hunt talking about it too. We can play the Kelce one in just a minute. But it's like, that has been their mantra. Now is it, oh, we're the biggest, baddest thing in town, and we're just going to be the Bulls from the 90s and, you know, train? Because that team was like that too. That team was so confident, it almost dripped off of them. It's not to say you can't have success that way, but I actually think you need a new, and that's not a bad thing. I think you need a new, like,
rallying cry.
Be behind. Yeah.
But that's not an issue. Just, like, you really think that's going to be a problem for these guys? You're right. They don't have go win one for the first time for Andy Reid.
It's an issue. I'm just curious what it's going
to
be.
To me, it's we're going to start a dynasty. We want to prove people that we can be the next dynasty. Like, that's the thought process. To me, that's your rallying cry. That's not just a 1 year run for the Chiefs. That to me is your motivation. It's as simple as that. It's like, let's go put ourselves in a rare company of multiple rings and see what kind of run they can go on for the next couple of years. That it's as simple as that. Repeat. That's all you got to say. That's
like
your
lot
rallying
pressure
cry.
To just win it for Andy.
And what makes them different from your regular, you know, like, I think the Eagles genuinely believed that they could do that. And the Eagles were a popular preseason Super Bowl pick this year.
Yeah.
They had a ton of injuries. They're going to have a little bit of roster overturn headed into next season. I think the Eagles are still a good team. But Andy and Pat change all of that. Like, Andy and Patrick Mahomes, who I still think Patrick Mahomes, we haven't seen his best season yet. Like, he's only played two full seasons, and I think we still haven't seen the completed version of him yet.
His only two seasons are Super Bowl MVP and MVP.
And I think that he still has better seasons ahead of him than what we've seen than what we've seen so far. So I think that is going to put them in a path where they can legitimately become a dynasty. And being cocky about the idea of that isn't necessarily a bad thing. Like, when Golden State first started, everybody was rooting for him because Steph Curry wasn't your typical superstar. He was changing the game. They didn't build this team through free agency like every other NBA team does. They drafted all of those guys and put together an incredible championship caliber roster. But then after they won that first title, they came back and they started doing Draymond became a household name who everybody started to hate him or love him because of his personality, because he was really arrogant and he'd pick fights with people. Steph started, drilling threes where he was halfway down the court before they even went in, and people started to turn on
them. And that's what Mahomes does, by the way, at the quarterback position. He makes throws where you're like, stop it. It just feels mean that you're doing that throw to
us. That's inevitably going to happen, but I do think that they've got the pieces in place where they can continue to win championships.
So do I.
And still having that same type of mentality where it feels like maybe they're not always in the game, which is, I think, is fair to say for multiple points within this season.
Yeah, I think there is part of that where sometimes they're just like, we're fine for a minute, and then they can turn it on literally any second. Of course they have the talent to go on the run. A lot because what you're saying, both Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid exist.
The rallying cry started the answer to your question started as soon as we were in the post-game media area.
And they were immediately talking destiny.
I mean, I'm talking I walk in there, 60 seconds in there, Chris Jones, whether he's on the roster next year or not,
dynasty.
Chris Jones talking dynasty, talking repeat. Andy Reid, you heard heard the cut
Andy
there.
Andy Reid said it.
So that they already have that figured out. It's about, let's not just have this as this feeling that we're feeling right now, how great this is. Yeah, we don't want this to stop. Like, that's your rallying cry. It's as simple as that. Defend the title.
Here's what Kelce had to say about Reid as well, by the way, is the continued mantra for this season was win it for Andy.
21 years. How about that? I'm going to walk this wall. How about 21 years? Y'all know what that means? Everybody here is thinking, oh, that's when I can, legally get a drink. Yeah. No, 21 years. That's how long it's just been turning for my guy Andy Reid. It's just been turning and turning and turning. And what we do, we unleash a can of whoop on everybody. 24-0, I ain't trying to hear it. Down 10, I ain't trying to hear it.
Cut that wrestling promo, please, right there. That's all. There's your wrestling promo.
He was already set in the gear. I honestly, I hope they turn into I hope they turn into exactly what Serta is talking about. Because if you do watch wrestling, the personalities you like are the ones that people don't like. That they're like, look at this high styling, profiling, like that version of the Chiefs. I hope they turn into whatever version of, whether they are the heel or the hero, of this version of WWE style, Golden State Warrior, Bulls of the 90s style. Like, if they're going to go through a winning stretch, like people in Kansas City obviously hope and think they can, I hope from our perspective, they turn into the absolute hated version of this, because it's phenomenal radio for us, but it's also incredibly entertaining. What I saw yesterday from those players is entertaining. I love when they become into this, that version of it. It's far too much enjoyment out of it for me.
And that's why the likability question we had about Mahomes and this organization long-term, I said at some point in time, people will turn on Mahomes and company nationally. They will not enjoy this
not
team
here.
As much. They won't be the little darling nationally. It's because of that they're going to be confident and hopefully win multiple rings. And so right away, that's going to have people turn on you.
Last minute.
That's not the right piece of paper. NFL offseason's officially over now that we've wrapped up the Super Bowl parade here in KC, but we don't get much of a break in the action. NFL's pretty much year-round now. The NFL Combine starts February 24th and runs through March 2nd, February 25th. It's the first day the clubs can designate or franchise-tagged players, and they have to have that decided by March 10th at 3 p.m. Eyes are on you, Chris Jones.
Yeah, he's definitively going to get franchise tagged.
That'll happen.
They're not working out the long-term deal before the 10th.
No, and they have till some date in July, like July 15th or whatever the heck the date is this year to work on that. There's that gap. You tag them and you have till mid-July or whatever it is to actually sign a long-term deal. And that's going to be something nobody's expecting to be resolved before we get into July. And that's just like what we've seen time and time again with other guys. Clowney from this past offseason. This is something that's going to go well into training camp, you would imagine, or leading up to training camp.
Oh, it's going to be a long-term conversation. But really, just like the day it hits, they should just go ahead and franchise him because they know that's going to happen anyway.
They probably will.
Like you said, you can work out that deal whenever any of that will take place. By the way, real quick, someone did ask on Twitter, Matt Miller, NFL Draft Scout, asked Patrick Mahomes how the hangover was, and his response was, I went to Texas Tech, prepared me for these moments. Good God, he's got to be feeling it today.
Think about it.
Although hangovers at 24 were not the same as they are at 35, so it was much easier to get over at that age, wasn't it?
Oh, no question.
Ah, those were the days. Getting over hangovers at 24 was so much easier.
Yeah, you just get up, you slam a Gatorade, and you're good to go.
Little Pedialyte, some greasy burger, and you were set. Set for the rest of the day.
Holmes,
I miss it.
Had a long day yesterday. Also went to the Post Malone concert. Saw that video.
Living his best life,
he
man.
He is. Good for him. He should. He should absolutely be enjoying it. He just won a Super Bowl at the age of 24.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.